This one is just something that I've been curious about for a long time. It seems like most everything you do deals with these really sort of heavy subject matters, you know, excluding comedy, of course. You know, God, sex, death. Are those the kind of things that you're really interested in, or is that just kind of a coincidence?
I think it's just kind of coincidence, but, you know, I mean, what interests me for the most part is just, I think it's all coincidence. Like, you know, I mean, the thing is just, luckily, I've somehow in my career, I've been fortunate enough to, the things that I, you know, do end up doing, you know, a lot of them turn out to be about cool stuff, you know, but realistically, you know, it's like, I didn't say to myself a couple years ago, like, I want to do a movie with The Rock about aliens, you know, like, and I like aliens and UFOs, so I'm going to do one of those, so it just happens to work out like that, you know, so like, you know, yeah, I've, you know, specifically, you know, as an actor, I think, you know, in the position I'm in, I'm not in the position to be choosing exactly what I want my movie to be about, you know, you can just kind of choose, you know, if you want to do a specific movie or not, that's it, so,
That you do like the drama, so the heavier things.
Yeah, I always like the heavier stuff a lot. You know, there was a while where it's like comedy was a nice balance because I just throw so much of my energy and time into something so dramatic that, you know, when I was done, I was exhausted and I was just like, oh my god, you know, it'd be great right now is to be paid to do some jokes. You know,
yeah.
It's like, and so, so that became something. But you know, I still, drama's the real stuff that I really enjoy. So.
What was the hardest? Thing that you worked on in those terms as far as what it took out of you?
Everything. It gets worse each time. Every time I go to a project, I'm more tired getting out of it. And I'd say, you know, the last really hard thing was, you know, probably The Invisible. It was pretty difficult. And Alpha Dog, all of them really. They're all really, each one is its own kind of battle. So
what happens when the director says cut? Are you able to just walk away from the heavy
stuff? No, I haven't gotten. That's the trick to acting. They say it takes twice as amount of energy to get out of something than it does to get in. Because getting in, it's like it's the process of discovery. So you're just like you're going along with it. Oh yeah, that feels cool. This feels cool. This feels cool. And then getting out of it is a whole other process in itself, and it's really difficult, honestly. And that's the one thing I try to spend more time concentrating on. Figuring out how to get out of it. I heard this famous story about like Al Pacino, who like won't leave his trailer until he's gotten out of the character. So sometimes it'll be 5 minutes, sometimes it'll be 5 hours, but he'll just do like, you know, some guy that I met that was like his assistant on some movie, and would just have to wait there for however long. And he would just like come outside and turn around 4 times, knock 4 times. Count to 4 and then like go back inside and then come back out again, turn around, stomp his feet 4 times, knock 4 times, come back, and then finally one of these days he would turn around and stop and go, all right, I'm ready to go, you know? Like, so like, you know, everybody's got their weird crazy thing that they, you know, that they gotta do to get out of stuff, and I figured out little things for myself, but not, I haven't mastered that process by any means.
Is that the hardest thing for you?
Yeah, it's always the hardest thing, is letting go of stuff, you know, because you're pretending to be, you're taking on these other attributes and these facets of characters, and you're expected to like live with them and show them, be honest with them, and then you got to go home and talk to your friends and be with your family or, you know, or whoever, and do whatever, just be by yourself and read a book, you know, whatever it would be that you're going to do, and expect not to have those things. Like, it's really difficult, you know. You know, so we talked about earlier with the, you know, Vietnam War stuff, you know, it's like, you know, the whole My Lai massacres, people who are trained to do something, and they end up, you know, full on becoming murderers because they're trained to kill people. And it's like, if you're training yourself to be a sad person, you're going to go home sad, you know, and if you're training yourself to feel guilty about something, then you're going to go feel guilty when you're back at home. So, you know, letting go of that stuff is a lot of work.
Are you a method guy?
I don't know. I never read a book on the method. I never studied. I don't even know if method is. I don't know. Honestly, I've never taken acting classes. I took a scene study class for the first time this year. I only went a couple of times, and then it wasn't for me anymore. But so I don't know. I mean, I've been, you know, growing up since I was 4 years old acting, so I figured everything out on my own. My parents have never told me what to do, so I've got my own thing that I do, and I don't really call it anything, so.
Well, that works for you, so that doesn't...
Sometimes. Sometimes.
After the last interview, when we talked to you, and you talked about some of the books you'd been reading, it seemed as though you were kind of on a sort of searching kind of spiritual path.
Yeah.
And I was just curious about that, and a lot of people are, probably because of your involvement in Joan, like, you know, what religion were you raised in, and how do you see your spiritual path these days?
Well, I was raised Catholic, and then, like, Methodist. I went to church for a long time, and then I started having these big questions in my head about a lot of stuff, and I was just like, I don't understand, and this and that, and this and that. So I started going to this, you know, to the priest, and I'd be like, hey, man, what about, you know, I'd ask him some questions, and then it made me completely uninterested in religion, and so I stopped going to church, and I haven't been to church for a long time, and, you know, my spirituality sort of comes from, you know, I take a very strong stance, honestly, against an organized, you know, religion. In a
sense. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, you know, and I think the foundation of any religion is a really great thing. I think it really is great for people to have, you know, for themselves and what that creates for people and the warmth and the happiness it can create for people. I just think that it's, you know, it's it definitely does the opposite in a lot of cases too. You know, I think organized religion makes people, it just started making, I won't put any judgment on anybody else, but for me it was making me feel like I was doing things wrong, mm-hmm. and like I didn't understand, and I was always confused, and I was always like, whoa, that doesn't make sense, and whoa, and I was just, it was messing with my head, and it wasn't making me happy, you know, so I had to go find something that made me happy, which was like, you know, sort of this whatever spirituality I've adopted at the time, which is, you know, I meditate all the time, and I read my books, and, you know, I find small answers and small things that happen to me in my life, and big answers and big things, and that's it, you know. I kind of, I say to myself constantly and consistently that I am exactly where I want to be and the person I want to be. I just don't know it yet, you know. I think the perspective constantly changes. I think once you go through something, you get out of it, and then you look back and you go, oh, I see why that was good and why that meant anything. So whatever you're going through, you know, whatever I'm going through in my life, whatever happens at the time, it might feel like shit and it might feel really hard, but then you always come out and you're always like, alright, I'm alive and I feel good now and this is it. So while I go through things, my spirituality seems to be like embracing, you know, embrace it, you know, embrace mm-hmm. everything.
Stay open.
Yeah, stay open. And, like, let, you know, if it hurts, it hurts. It sucks, you know. You gotta feel it. If it's really good, you mm-hmm. feel that too. And, you know, I'm like, you know, everybody's, you know, a good friend of mine, this guy, said to me, you know, one time, really cool. He's like, you know, you're not that special. And I'm not that special. And he's like, people are not that special. And I was like, I didn't like hearing that, you know, because I think I'm special, and I think I know people that are special, mm-hmm. blah, blah, but, like, truth is, like, everybody goes through the same stuff, man,
right.
You know, and everybody does that, you know, and everybody gets hurt, and everybody feels great, and everybody's on top of the world, and everybody, you know, makes mistakes and accomplishes stuff, and so I don't know, the way the world works and all those big questions and when it comes to religion and spirituality, like, I don't know, I just know, you know, when I'm doing some things, I know when it seems to make sense and when it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's never consistent.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. What are you reading these days?
Oh, everything. Everything. I just got down that Hubert Selby Jr. book. I got some, I'm reading a lot of poetry. Ginsberg, Pablo Neruda, Whitman, Walt Whitman. I'm still a huge Rilke guy. And Rilke and, is just my man. So I like that guy a lot. Well, so I read so many bizarre books. I read Communion, you know, with this driver, and I read this great South of the Border, West of the Sun by this Japanese guy named Murakami. It's Hideo Murakami, but I forget his first name. And that was a great book, and just reading a ton of Bret Easton Ellis and a ton of, Charles Bukowski. I read all of Salinger's books this year for the first time. And yeah, I guess all those
cool.
Yeah.
What music you listening to?
a ton of new stuff too, all contemporary stuff, like all stuff that I could find on iTunes that's like come out in the last like couple of years. Bon Iver has been my person recently, which is Bonivier, and they're just so good. And Bobby Gentry is this old classic, and Baby Huey, and I love Radiohead and TV on the Radio and Sigur Rós, which is this Icelandic band.
Wow, really?
So, we have a
huge fan in Iceland who's going to love that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. I bet they know exactly who Sigur Rós is. I just saw him perform for the first time ever, like for the day before my birthday. A friend of mine gave me a ticket.
Cool.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah, so.
Wow.
TV on the Radio.
That's great. Who or what inspires you these days?
My friends have been really inspirational. My brothers have been really inspirational. Some great books I've been reading, and a lot of stuff inspired me. You know what inspired? There's a movie. I know this guy that he was in. They made it for $12,000. It's called In Search of a Midnight Kiss. I still haven't seen it. But they went and made this little thing, and this guy wrote it in 2 weeks, and they filmed it in 2 weeks, and they put it together, and then it went all over the world and started playing, and it's this great thing, and that was, like, super inspiring. And I was
sure.
Like, yeah, you guys just did it. You just made a movie. And so in whatever's leaning towards that, just, like, going out and doing something, being motivated to just, like, paint a picture, because I can't paint, but screw it, I'll paint a picture. That's inspiring to me. I'm like, yeah, paint a picture, man. Yeah, write something down. I've been writing lots of letters to people as much as possible, just because, I think they can be very inspiring for people. I think that, a lot of times you go a lot of your life without saying a lot of stuff to people that you think about in your head.
Right.
And you think that maybe they know because you're thinking about it all the time. And you think about the person, like, I think that person is so smart. And every time you think about them, you're like, that person's so smart. And then the day that you tell them, did I ever tell you that I think that you're such a smart person? They're like, really? Like, they had no idea. So I kind of realized that recently. So I just, now I try to, tell people close to me. Yeah.
What a great idea. I did that a couple of times with my mom when I was younger, because she kind of just needed a boost. And so I would write her a letter.
Yeah, they're powerful. You forget, because it's all emails now, text messages.
Yeah.
And everything's just so easy to communicate that you forget that, like, something, a simple letter, even if it's just a paragraph long, just to tell somebody, like, hey, you're awesome, and you're really cool. Really like hanging out with you. And that's all I want to say. And those people, literally, it's just the fact that it's a piece of paper.
Right, exactly.
That they're like, wow, it's a little more effort and time than usually goes into things.
My best friend is really big on that. Every few years, she'll write me a really long letter and just say, I could have said this over email. But it's just great to have it on paper.
It really
personal
is.
Handwriting.
Yeah.
I remember that when I was a teen, I used to write these 10-page letters to pen pals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Totally,
Oh, the days of pen pals.
Oh,
wow.
God.
I had one in Germany when I was about 20 or so.
Yeah.
What's the best advice you've ever been given as an actor, and what advice would you give to other actors?
I don't know the best advice, because advice has to work in circumstance. It's got to be like a
nothing
specific
memorable.
Scene. Yeah, I've got specific like things that have happened that are like, some advice I got one time is, one guy told me, he's like, I guess you just got to be, the guy let you know, because there's an agent of mine, and he had said to me, it's possible for an actor to spread himself too thin. And he was like, to like do so many parts simultaneously, just keep going back, that you spread yourself so thin that like you forget to keep living, you forget to like enjoy your life or go through what you gotta go through, because you're just on set acting all the time, and that makes people lose their specialness, their quality about them, and why people like to watch them. They lose that because it's just too much work. You just see the person too often, and they're not, you lose your balanced life. And so I that was probably some of the best advice I ever got. So, there's times where I'm like, I just need to not be doing some work, and I need to go, like, travel somewhere, like, just be with my family or whatever it would be. So, so that's smart. Yeah.
Do you give Sean advice?
I do. I give him honest advice. And I try to, but he's a big boy now, so he's, he knows what he's doing, more so than I do, actually.
Oh, no.
Do
you think you guys will ever get a chance to do something together again?
I hope so. I think so. I mean, hopefully this TV show thing, we'll get him on there, and then we're just do that, you know, that web show for the internet. Mm-hmm. We're going to do one of those together, too.
Do you know when that's going to happen?
I don't know. We it's the hard part is we came up with it last year, and then now finally the deal's done. Mm-hmm. But it's like it's been so long that now we were like, do we really want to do that anymore? And we're like, no, let's come up with a different thing. But then that takes a whole other process. Mm-hmm. So, you know, right now it's like he's got a bunch of auditions. I think he's going to be doing like two movies back to back really soon. And he just got one, and the other one looks really good. So, like, we've all got our own stuff going on. Right. So we'll see that when the opportunity fits, it'll fit.
What's Eric doing these days?
Hanging out. He's hanging out. He was working at Starbucks for a long time, chilling, taking care. He's got a really great girlfriend that he's been with for like
she's
a really
beautiful,
long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the two of them just hang out together. And,
but he's happy. And
super happy, super content. Just like, yeah. And finding him, he's just always like, I'm like, how you doing? Good. I'm like, no, really? Nothing bad happens to you? Like, no, I'm good though. I promise. It's like, all right, cool. So.
He looked great in the last pictures we saw him.
Yeah.
It's really long hair.
Yeah, he cut it now. It's shaved.
Did he?
Oh,
that's cute.
Yeah.
You did some theater work when you were a kid. Is that something you like to get back into?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. It is hard LA. There's no theater. I flew to New York a couple of times this last year to specifically go audition for a couple of plays, but that's also like a whole other thing to get into that's really hard to get into. So.
You almost have to create your own things.
Well, it's, you know, people that live in New York and stuff, you know, the theater in New York is like you pretty much got to be like a famous actor to get like a really great part. And if you're just auditioning, you know, the people don't know me over there. You got to really be in that circuit and circulating within that, you know, to I think really get a shot. Either that or you go in and you just kill the audition on everybody. Oh my God, it's the perfect thing.
Right.
But, you know, but yeah, I'd definitely love to do a play. We'll just see what happens.
You would do some of these small things out here in LA, like some of the other folks are doing?
I totally would, yeah. I was really jealous that Michael Welch got to do this play with Harry. And I told him that. I was like, you SOBs, I can't believe you. I'm so jealous right now. And, yeah, so maybe we'll see what happens. Yeah, I was talking to Aaron about getting a little play together, him and I doing it. So.
You're writing, right?
Mm-hmm. Cool. I am too. I've got a script that I'm almost done with, and I think they're going to try to help me get up off the ground. There'll be a few really cool actors that are just good friends of mine that'll do it.
Great.
Yeah, so.
Anything you can talk about?
Not yet.
Okay.
We're not out of the bag yet, but it's cool. It's my brother Sean would be in it. It's about, like, you know, kids growing up in Los Angeles, basically. So, but it's kind of crazy. It's a really crazy story. So.
Yeah. Before we started the tape, we talked a little bit about Kid Cannabis. Is there anything that you can give us an update on what's going on with that? Or?
I don't know. Last time I heard, last I heard, it was just the guy directed a movie with Anton Yelchin and Eva Mori and Justin Chatelain, all three really good friends of mine. And they were all up in the Toronto Film Festival for it and saying, you know, watching the movie. And so they had all called me while they were there, and they were like, you know, we're talking to the director. He says that he's really still trying to get the movie going and blah, blah, blah. And, because they were asking what he's going to do now, and he was like, oh, I'm supposed to be doing this movie. So, you know, that guy's still fighting for it, so that's all I know.
Okay. And if it happens, you're still going to be in it, though, right? Because they changed your status to rumored.
Yeah, I don't know who's in charge of all that.
But you have committed to it.
I've committed to it, totally. They've committed to me, yeah. So.
Great,
yeah.
Great, because we really want to see that happen.
Yeah.
What do you do for fun in your tunnel?
I read the books, and I write, and I hang out with my friends all the time. We just go to coffee, and then, you know, go to a bar at night, and play ping pong.
Watch Crazy People.
Watch Crazy Nana at 2 Feet. You know, eat flowers.
That was a great story.
And that's all,
Do you have any of your own movies on DVD?
I do, but only because I'm an egotistical bastard. I have a bunch of them because I had to put together like demo reels and stuff for myself, and so you have to go through and stuff. Oh, stupidest stuff. It's the hardest thing to do as an actor. You gotta go through and like watch all your work and be like, I think this is the best part. So can you put that on there for me? You know, so like,
she made one for you. So.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, it's like 42 minutes.
Oh,
long.
Wow. Yeah. they're like, okay, it's gotta be 7 minutes. I was like, 7? I can't put. We're gonna put one thing on there. Yeah. I mean, it's usually around 10, but they want you to keep it like 5 or 7 minutes. So I was just like, well, I just wanted to put one scene on there.
Yeah, because most of your stuff is kind of slow build.
Yeah, and so that's the hard part of my demo reel. That's why I don't ever like it. So that's why I have that stuff. But yeah, I'm trying. I don't really have anything. There's only one thing that I don't even own anymore. I don't even know where it is. I lost it. But that I would actually like in my DVD collection, which is the Tick Code. I like that.
Is there anything looking back in any of your work that you would have done differently if you could go back?
Yeah, I think so. There's definitely a few things I'd definitely change. A few things I definitely wouldn't. For a little while, I started, you grow up as an actor, and, you know, actors are, for the most part, very romantic about their work, and, because it's not the coolest thing in the world to be an actor, but it's, you can really play it up. You know, you can really be like, oh, it is so beautiful, and you can pretend to be Mark Anthony and Tracy, whatever it would be. So I've definitely let that get carried out of hand at times. I've definitely been like, it's caused like arguments between me and people I've worked with, and it's, started like fires in me. Made me really upset about things. Like, you can't film it like that, because if you film it like that, then nobody will be able to tell that I am. Yeah, whatever it is. And so, so I think, I think part of growing up is squashing those ideals too, and making things fit better, be more realistic with yourself. So there's I don't know if I changed anything. I'm happy.
You are who you are, and you got there for a reason.
Yeah.
What's the craziest thing you've done lately?
This summer, for my dad's birthday, I took him and my brothers and a bunch of friends of ours, and we all went to this place called Monkey Canyon here in Los Angeles, and sort of this hideaway spot that people really don't know about. I don't even know if it's called Monkey Canyon, really. It's just what me and my friends call it. And you go around this crazy hike, and it's so steep that literally people have built all these ropes and wires and stuff that you got to kind of like lead yourself down this mountain with. You end up in this ridge with this big, huge stream in the middle, and the stream sometimes literally disappears with just rocks, and you kind of see water underneath them. Or then it opens up with this huge pond. You got to kind of jump off this big rock into the pond, and then eventually you come to this huge waterfall place. And we went to the waterfall, and there's a 40-foot jump, and then there's like a 90-foot jump. And I went there once, like 6 years ago, and I went off the 40-foot jump, and I was like, you have to be a madman to jump off the 90-foot one. So I went, my dad even jumped off the 40-foot one. Everybody did, except for my brother Eric, because he's really scared of heights, and he wouldn't do it. But everybody jumped off this thing. And then I got my good friend, John Foster, and he was like, we gotta do the 90-foot jump. And I was like, no way. And he's like, let's just go look. So I climb all the way up there, and you get up there, and now you've got, there's probably about 50 people that are hanging out there. Now you've got 50 people screaming at you, being like, jump, come on, jump. And some guy called me a name. Because I wasn't going to jump, I was going to turn around, and then guys, like, he called me this name, and I was just like, who said that? Everybody shut up, and I was just like, yeah, I got to jump it. And so I jumped off a 90-foot cliff.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the scariest. It was so terrifying. I honestly can't believe I did that.
You wouldn't do it again?
No. No, once is totally fine. I could say I did it, and I got the memory of it, and now I'm good. Yeah.
Can anybody get a picture?
Yeah, a friend of mine got a couple of pictures in the end, my friend John jumping, so it was good.
John did it too?
Yeah, John did it too. He went first.
Yeah, he's terrific. I'd seen him before, but I didn't realize he was Ben's brother until, like I said, recently we found out that you were really good friends with him, and I saw his picture, and I'm like, I know him, I've seen him in TV shows.
Yeah,
and
he's
movies.
All over the place. Yeah.
He's great. Audiobooks. Would you ever narrate, read an audiobook?
I would love to.
We would love to have you do that sometime.
I'd love to, but I mean, I think usually, I don't know how that works. I think the author usually like has to ask somebody specifically to go do that. Because I know I've had some friends that have done it, but it's like the author will call them and say, if I saw you in this thing, I think your voice is really cool. Would you read this for me?
Well, you have a beautiful voice and you're very articulate, so I think you'd be incredible at it.
Maybe one day. We'll see.
We can hope.
Yeah,
we
can hope. I can hope.
I can write a book.
Yeah, write your book and read your own. There you go.
Very true. Yeah.
Well, we're done, and we really appreciate you answering some questions for us. I know it took a little longer than we probably expected, but that was terrific. So we can get on with the presents now.
Yeah. 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 Yeah